Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1940. Maxwell House Coffee welcome you to another hour of entertainment brought to you each week, starring Fanny Bryce, Hanley Stafford, Connie Boswell, Lou Holtz, Benny Rubin, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Tonight, we present a special preview of Paramount's Gulliver's Travels with our guests, Lanny Ross and Jessica Dragonette, who will broadcast from New York. And now, here is your host for this evening, Edward Arnold.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight, again, we bring you a program that is transcontinental in more ways than one. Part of it will come to you from Hollywood. But right now, here's Meredith Wilson, who opens the program with a song from Gulliver's Travels, which we will preview later on. It's called It's a Hap, Hap, Happy Day. Meredith.
It's a hap, hap, happy day. Do-do-do-do-do-do-lay. For you and me. For us and we, all the clouds have rolled away. It's a hap, hap, happy day. Do-do-do-do-do-do-lay. The sun shines bright, the world's all right. It's a hap, hap, happy day. Corn and sandy sunbeams are dancing round my face. Four score and 20 more are dancing every day. It's a hap, hap, happy day. Do-do-do-do-do-do-lay.
Charming. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Maxwell House presents Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Well, there's trouble in the house again. Snooks ransacked all the closets, found the Christmas presents, and opened them up. Mother was good and mad, and she reported the incident to Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford. As the scene opens, Daddy is entering Snooks' bedroom to have a talk with her. Listen.
Snooks. Snooks, where are you?
I'm under the bed.
Oh. Are you going to come out?
No.
Well, look out. I'm coming under there.
Is he after you too, Daddy?
Nobody's after me. What are you doing under that bed?
I'm hiding from that woman.
What woman?
Your wife. I don't like her.
Oh, come on out.
All right, Daddy.
Well, that's better. Now, what happened?
Mommy didn't give me no supper, and she spanked me.
Oh, I told her never to spank you on an empty stomach.
She didn't spank me on the stomach, Daddy.
Well, whatever happened, I guess you deserved it.
I didn't do nothing.
Mother told me you'd been a naughty girl all day. What did you do to the little brother?
Nothing.
You'd better tell me the truth, Snooks.
We was playing Indians.
And what?
And I stopped them.
What?
But I didn't really stop them, Daddy. I only cut off his hair with the scissors.
And you call that nothing?
He didn't have much hair anyway.
Snooks, what's the matter with you? With Christmas so close, you'd think a little girl would go out of her way to be very good.
You'd think so, wouldn't you, Daddy?
Now, don't be smart. I certainly wouldn't want to get caught opening the presents before Christmas.
I didn't want to get caught either.
Stop that. How is it Mother found you in that closet with the presents?
She walked awful quiet, Daddy.
The very idea. Ripping open all the packages. People go out of their way to be nice to you. Get you lovely presents. And you couldn't wait a couple of days. Ah, that's the lowest trick in the world.
Is it, Daddy?
It certainly is. Didn't see anything for me there, did you?
Uh-huh. Mommy bought you a bathrobe.
Oh. One of those crummy ones like last year?
Same thing.
Oh, well.
You want to see it, Daddy?
No, I don't want to see it. You, didn't happen to see what I got for Mother, did you?
Uh-huh.
That's really a nightgown, isn't it?
Uh-huh. It's probably one like last year.
Now, Snooked, just because I said it, you don't have to say it.
Mommy said it, too.
Oh, she did. This is going to be a fine Christmas. And on top of everything, Uncle Louis is coming to stay with us.
He won't like it either.
What do you mean?
I seen the present you brought him.
I never mind that present. What's the matter with it anyway? It's a very expensive tie. Oh, what's he giving me? A grand piano?
No, he said
he... Now, don't tell me. That's the very thing I'm trying to explain to you. I've got enough options to wait until Christmas morning to open my business. I don't go snooping around closets and... What did he send me, sir?
I ain't gonna tell
you. All right, you don't have to. I'm not curious.
Not much.
Not at all.
Oh, no.
You don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
All right.
What is it? Such a big secret?
Well, I won't tell you what it is. But,
Yes?
It's made of wood. And it's brown. And you smoke it.
Another pipe. Two-bit Louis. Ah, cheapskate. And to think I tossed out 39 cents on that tie. I'll bet the pipe's no good.
It's no good, Daddy.
Well, how do you know?
I smoked it.
Oh, what's the matter with you?
I feel sick.
Sure, and it serves you right. Maybe you'll have a little more patience from now on.
What's patience?
Well, I'll tell you. Suppose a man goes fishing.
What man?
Any man.
Uncle Louis?
Oh, no. Not Uncle Louis. He's got no time for fishing. He's too busy hoarding.
Huh?
Nothing. Now, listen. Suppose a man goes fishing, and he sits for an hour and doesn't catch any fish. Then he sits for another hour. Still no fish. So he waits and he waits, and he doesn't give up. Finally, he catches a fish. What has that man got?
A fish?
No. What must he have in order to catch the fish?
Wames.
He must have patience.
Why?
Because he had to wait until the fish bit on his hook.
Why did the fish bite it?
He wanted his dinner.
Didn't the fish have no patience?
No, that the fish was exactly like you. Going through closets and tearing open Christmas presents.
The fish done that?
No, the fish didn't done that.
You done it. I've got a good mind to tell Santa not to bring you anything.
I don't care.
Oh, you don't?
No, I seen what he brought me and I don't like it.
Snooks, is it possible that you don't like that beautiful little electric stove?
It's possible, Daddy.
So you don't like that stove, hmm? Didn't you write and ask Santa for the stove?
Mm-hmm. But I changed my mind. I want a pair of ice skates.
Well, that's a horse of another color.
I want a colored horse, too.
I'm afraid you're asking for a little too much, Snooks.
Then just tell him to bring me the ice skates.
No ice skates.
Oh, please, Daddy. If he brings me the ice skates, I'll give all my other toys away to the poor little children.
Well, that's very sweet of you, dear, but I think you're too young for ice skates.
Why?
Well, Christmas, and I don't want to argue, but look... I'll make a bargain with you.
All right.
Okay. Here's my proposition. I'll tell you a story, and if I can make you say, no, I haven't, you don't get the skates.
What mustn't I say?
No, I haven't. Is it a deal?
It's a deal.
Right. Well, there was once a little boy who lived in a shack with his stepmother and stepfather. He was only a little lad.
Was he a stepladder?
No, he was an orphan. Have you ever seen an orphan?
No, I haven't. No.
No what?
No orphans.
Foxy little muzzler. Well, anyhow, this orphan was selling papers on the street when he came to a toy store with a green glass windows. You've seen green glass windows, haven't you?
No.
No what?
I ain't talking. Keep trying, Daddy.
Yeah. Well, the little boy came to this toy shop and suddenly he saw... Wait a minute, I think you've heard this story before.
You bet your life I have. You thought I was going to say no, I haven't.
You lose. No skates. Goodbye. Oh, wait a minute. What's the use? Listen, Christmas only comes once a year. I'll buy you the skates.
Honest, Daddy?
Yes, honest.
You're the bestest daddy in the whole world.
Now you're cooking with gas.
In just a moment, we'll hear from Jessica Dragonette and Lanny Ross. But first, here's Warren Hull, ready to set the stage for a Christmas scene that takes place at... Say, Warren, where is this celebration anyway?
Well, Eddie, it's sure to take place in countless homes all over America. As the scene opens, Christmas dinner is just about over. As Mr. Smith pushes back his chair, Mrs. Smith says...
Well, Frank, did you enjoy your dinner?
Enjoy it? Well, it was perfect. The turkey was done to a turn. The pie was wonderful. And say, that Maxwell House coffee topped it all off in grand style.
Yes, friends, good coffee is mighty important to the success of any Christmas dinner. And if it's Maxwell House coffee you serve, you can be sure it will be just as satisfying, just as fragrantly delicious as the good things that go with it. You see, Christmas and Maxwell House are no strangers. For more than 50 years, the rare and mellow flavor of this famous coffee blend has held the essence of the joyous season. And through the years, we have worked to make Maxwell House the finest coffee you can buy. Today, millions of people are telling us it is. In fact, this Christmas, more people will be enjoying Maxwell House than ever before in its history. But of course, Maxwell House coffee is not merely a holiday treat, but something we can all afford to enjoy every day. Yes, in the quiet of our homes, every day in the year that is to come, there will always be a friendly, festive fragrance in the air whenever there's a cheering cup of Maxwell House coffee at hand. So if you haven't tried Maxwell House for some time, let me suggest that you get a can tomorrow. We think your own enjoyment and satisfaction will tell you that Maxwell House coffee is now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
Now we're going to hear from our New York contingent on the program, a distinguished Maxwell House alumnus, Lanny Ross, and radio's foremost soprano, the charming Jessica Dragonette. Meredith, you worked with Lanny on the showboat program of Maxwell House, didn't you?
Yes, I did, Ed.
Ever worked with Jessica?
No, I never. But I've seen some snaps of her, and believe me, it would be a pleasure.
Well, I assume she's listening now, and so I'll ask her to say a few words of greeting to you.
Oh, gee, thanks, Ed. You know, I'm getting to be quite a transcontinental flirt.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to our program Jessica Dragonette and your old showboat friend, Lanny Ross. Lanny, come aboard again and bring Jessica with you.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. And as they say in the old Navy toast, glad to be aboard. It's great fun for me to be back on a Maxwell House program again. And Jessica, I think you're going to enjoy it, too.
Oh, I'm sure I will. You know, Lanny, I was always a little nervous about the showboat program because I'm uneasy on the water. Even a rowboat frightens me. But I feel perfectly comfortable now.
I think you'll be all right, Jessica. Now, if anything goes wrong, you'll find a life preserver under your deck chair.
A life preserver?
A can of Maxwell House coffee.
Oh.
And now I think it would be nice if you'd follow Edward Arnold's suggestion and say something nice to Meredith Wilson out in Hollywood.
Oh, but I've never met Mr. Wilson.
Oh.
So how could I possibly
well,
say...
Well, I see what you mean, but he'd get such pleasure out of it. You have no idea what a simple fellow he is.
Mr. Wilson is simple?
Well, that may not be just the word... But last year I gave him a candid camera for a present, and he was terribly disappointed because it wasn't covered with chocolate.
Oh, well, I would be, too.
You and Meredith would be great friends. Now, just say something friendly to him, and then we'll sing.
All right. But, Lanny, I hope he doesn't think I'm being forward. I trust Mr. Wilson will enjoy a pleasant holiday season.
That's as far as you're going to go?
Oh, but don't you think I've said too much already?
All right, Jessica, let's sing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Make Believe, famous song from Jerome Kern's Showboat. And we're singing it for two people somewhere who are probably in love.
Only make believe I love you.
Turn you now to Hollywood.
That was magnificent, Jessica and Lanny. A fitting preparation for the entrance of that dynamic personality, that supercharged bundle of TNT, the ever-loving Lou Holtz.
Oh, make me know it, Dad. Oh, make me know it. See, you know, Edward, I'm beginning to love this program. Fine music, the people are delightful. And, of course, the coffee is superb.
Now you're cooking with gas, Lou.
Gas, electricity. Gas, electricity, or sterno. It's still good. Still good. Hi, Lal.
I wanna.
Oh, that Lal Gandhi. He's a sweet kid. Sweet kid. Or, as they say in India, I glande siti bele dando trostere sorti fini dini dini dano. Oh, fuetri gondola passate sti.
What does that mean?
It means no matter which way you sit on a pin, you must bend it. Hi, Lal.
Say, Lou, why did you suddenly become so attached to this Hindu?
Bless you, Edward. The fellow's very cultivated. And what a host.
Oh, you've been to his house,
eh? Oh, of course. Of course, Edward. I was there last night. And he had a very distinguished gathering of Hindus.
A dress-up affair?
Oh, extremely. Hindu style, of course. Hindu style. I went, you'll die, I went formal, but in a tropical fashion, called tropical formal.
Tropical formal? What's that?
I wore a double-breasted loincloth with satin lapels.
You did not.
Well, if I'm lying, I hope Meredith Wilson's nose drops off. Hiya, Lal.
Hey, buena!
But honestly, Honestly, Edward, the dinner would have delighted an epicure like yourself.
Oh, yeah. Indian curries?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I love them.
I do myself, bless you. I dote on them, but passionately. But the way the meal was served, Edward, have you ever attended a real high caste Hindu dinner?
No, I never have.
Well, in the first place, at the banquet, the people, they don't use any chairs.
No chairs? Well, what do they sit on?
There's a Hindu word for it. Oh, make me know it. Make me know it. As a matter of fact, the other night we sat on the floor. Oh, you're just getting it, eh? We sat on the floor, and as soon as we were seated, Edward, 7 beautiful native girls came dancing in. Each girl was carrying... you'll die. Each girl was carrying a cutlet.
The girls danced with cutlets?
Yes, it was the dance of the 7 veals. Hi, Alal.
Minnesota! Ah, wait a minute. Say, what kind of a Hindu dinner is that, veal cutlets?
Keep your loincloth on. These cutlets were served with Bengal sauce.
Oh.
Bengal, oh boy. And besides, that was only the first course. The main dish, Edward, would have knocked you for a row of Taj Mahals.
Well, make me know it, Dad. Make me know it.
Oh, I'm going to give it to you lightly and politely, Edward. Lightly and politely. I've dined in the world's finest restaurants.
Uh-huh.
But I have never in my life have I eaten anything as so delicious, so tantalizing, a combination as the dish at La Ganga's house.
Well, what was it?
Well, Edward, I have a very sensitive palate, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And in the first mouthful, I detected the presence of mace, marjoram, bay, clove, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. Jello again. This is Jack.
Wait a minute. Listen, never mind that. I'm anxious to hear about this dish. Did it have any lentil in it?
A lentil. Make me know it. I detected every ingredient in the dish, but I couldn't for the life of me decide what the meat was. It tasted like wild duck.
Well, why don't you ask La Ganga what it was?
A very good idea. I'll do it. Hey, Lal. Lal. Iglandasiti, pro the sea, the dish in your house, pro a sea, pro ha, ho ha, ha, de se de be.
Burdana for kiss la parte.
Hm?
Menesi la pose cornosis.
Oh, I see. Look, I'll do that. Edward, you know you've got to handle this thing very, very diplomatically.
Yeah, well, I don't know why. It's just a simple question.
No, it's not as simple as you think. You see, it's an old Hindu tradition that if a guest asks a host what's in a dish, it's a terrible insult.
Is that so?
Oh, the worst. I'll have to start off by praising the whole dinner. Now, watch. I want you to watch where I handle
this. Yeah,
I'll watch it. Lal.
Forgestant.
Lal. Prodisi a dinner your house a prondele sada. The soup. Soup, fondo la pardado.
Oh, brugues.
Yeah, brugues. Eh? Meat,
meat.
Fondo tro grada sal.
Fornica. Salado. Proche delle cassatra.
Delle cassatra. Yeah. Okay.
Dessert, funedisi.
Funedisi.
Con delle cachide di coffee.
Ah, pornasse colline di coffee. Mi sono rapporto la lanzola e si supera vacuum canola.
Super vacuum canola.
Mordini l'osso corondi drippi grindi.
Drippi grindi, yeah, yeah.
Mordano polassi si roste freshing.
He's got me.
Roste freshing, yeah. Manande culisse mix with housing.
Oh,
what did he say, Lou?
Mordicati mix with housing coughing.
come on, what did he say?
He says he's crazy about cocoa.
Well, I could tell that myself. What about the duck?
I'm creeping up on it. Lal. Meat. Prondele si your house. Meat. Was the meat a la poto? Was it the quack, quack, quack?
No. Meow, meow, meow.
Good heavens.
Don't be alarmed, Edward. Meow, meow, meow is the Hindu word for venison.
Are you sure of that?
No, and I'm not going to look it up.
Say, listen, you ask Lal if he...
I'll take it. Hello, this is the Sears Roebuck Toy Department. Holt's talking. Who? Miss... I didn't get the name. Oh, Miss...
What's your...
It's P-E-C-K, Peck, I-N, Pin, P-A-N-G-L-E, Miss Peck and Pangle. Did you ever hear of such a name at the artist entrance?
No. I don't know anybody by the name of Peck and Pangle.
Well, who? I never heard of Miss Peck and Pangle. She wants to come in. I don't know her either.
Buona Holtz.
Yes, Lal?
Mordine canasse la pur de farnasi, li dende le junde le cacne, Peck and Pangle.
Oh, he knows her. Lal. From the sea, fra da sa, Peck and Pangle.
Mordano cosentri, vozala d'orzine, zale vit, Peck and Pangle.
Oh, you dog, you. Hello, hello. Yes, would you send Miss Peck and Pangle right in? Thank you.
Well, yes. This is a new side of Lao Ganga.
Excuse me. Oh, good evening, Lao Ganga.
Mudara Kosi.
You dog, you. Make me know a Lao. Make me know a.
Mirdona Carsona Purdi.
Introduce me to the beautiful doll.
Mr. Holtz. You are Mr. Holtz, aren't you?
Yes, my sweet.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, because I met Lal about a week ago, and I'm awfully fond of him, but I don't speak any Hindu.
Well, I'll be glad to help you out, Sugar Pie. Is there anything you'd like me to tell him?
Yes. Please ask Lal if he'll come to my house for dinner tonight.
Okay. Lal. Prandisi e pekin pangalo.
E pekin pangalo.
Tradisi house for dinero. Fondi you o chode si ute aitne.
Mordana for licita pordi. Pordi canosi le mar de dotter mi casi ne mamma new fadrosten.
Will he come?
Well, he says he'd like to, but before he left India, he promised his mother that he would never go to a girl's house alone. If he did, his mother would worry herself to death.
Oh, well, what a shame. Oh, but if it's going to make his mother worry, we'll just have to call it off.
Buona Holtz.
Yes, Lal?
Mordana cosino lo pierde de mami new, morzada fodida pat grazipi.
Did he change his mind?
Nobody says you come to his house tonight and let your mother worry.
It's a date.
Hey, Buona, get up there and play that oboe. Get Buona away, your dog.
Friends, the time is at hand to ask you to pull up your chairs and join with us in our friendly Thursday evening moment of relaxation over a cup of steaming, fragrant Maxwell House coffee. Here's your cup, Eddie. Yours, Connie. Cream? Sugar? Everybody serve? Now, Meredith, let's have music to match the holiday cheer of this coffee that's good to the last drop. We pause briefly for station identification.
Every year at this time, store windows are full of toys and books that make small eyes pop in wonderment. One of those books, famous for over 200 years, is Jonathan Swift's story of a man, a regular-sized man like, say, me, who found himself among the Lilliputians, a race of thumb-sized folk. Yes, Gulliver's Travels. This year, Paramount has made Gulliver's Travels into a beautiful full-length Technicolor cartoon. And tonight, from Radio City in New York, we're going to bring you an adaptation of it. Full of lovely, whimsical people and scenes as Gulliver's Travels. But there's a lesson in it for all of us, young and old, at this Christmas time. It's simply that wars need not be fought. And it is full of beautiful music, too, with Jessica Dragonette and Lanny Ross. We'll sing for you to Al Goodman's accompaniment. It's a hard thing to put a cartoon on the air, of course, but we hope we have at least caught the spirit, the charming spirit of Max Fleischer's Gulliver's Travels. At any rate, imagine yourself now in a small boat with Lemuel Gulliver himself at the tiller. He's coming back to Lilliput to visit his little friends, the prince and princess, and Gabby, the town crier. As the boat draws close to the tiny shore, we take you to New York and Gulliver's Travels.
Wait till I drop anchor.
Hey, be careful of that anchor, will you? You want to wash the beach away?
My, my, that sounds like Gabby.
It is Gabby.
Well, where are you?
Well, way down here in your footprints. Help me out, Gulliver.
Certainly. There we are.
Ah, thanks.
How are you, Gabby? How's the Princess Glory and Prince David?
Now, they're waiting for you over on the other side of town in the amphitheater, you big lummox. It's the only place on Lilliput big enough to hold you.
Oh, it's only about 5 steps. Hang on to my watch chain, Gabby. We'll go over there.
All right.
Ready?
Careful, Gulliver. Where you step? You want to start an earthquake? Aren't we there yet? You nearly stepped on that blacksmith shop.
Here we are.
Two more steps and we'd need passports.
Gulliver! Oh, Gulliver!
The Man Mountain.
Hello, your majesties. May I pick you up?
Of course.
Oh, hurry, Gulliver.
There now. Princess Glory, don't hide behind my lapel. Let me look at you. My, you're lovelier than ever. And you, Prince David, I'll never forget how you saved my life.
Why, if it hadn't have been for you, Gulliver, Glory and I might never have found happiness.
Then you have been living happily ever after?
Oh, yes, thanks to you.
Why, you're a national hero in Lilliput, you big old.
Stop swinging from my ear, Gabby. I'm a national hero?
Yes, Gabby's right.
We've been building a life-size granite monument to you, Gulliver.
Oh, really? I'd like to see that. Where is it?
Tain't finished. We ran out of granite.
You know, when that storm came up back in 1699, I didn't realize that being shipwrecked would lead to the most wonderful adventure I ever had. When I woke up...
Now wait. Let me tell it, Gulliver. You'd been washed ashore, and you were asleep, down on the beach. I was making my rounds, and I was sort of singing along, you know. All's well, what a rainy day. Never mind that cloud. Behind that cloud, you find a golden ray. All's well, laugh your fears away. See the light ahead, right ahead. There's a moonlit night ahead. Everyone, come on, have fun. All's well. Well, sir, the next thing I knew, I'd walked smack into a huge giant hand. His fingers looked like a forest. I was so scared, I made a flea line for the palace. King Little was in his throne room with Prince David's father, King Bombo. They'd just signed the marriage contract, and they were looking at a diamond almost as big as a caraway seed.
My, my.
Princess Glory and Prince David were sort of looking at the moon from the balcony. And then the princess began singing to the prince. It was the song we always sang in Lilliput.
When all the trouble started, Gabby?
Precisely, Gulliver. King Little says the princess will sing that song at her wedding the next day. King Bombo says, oh, no, he says. The only music at the wedding will be the national song of Blefuscu, he says. It's called forever. I say, faithful, says King Little. Bombo, you're making a molehill out of a molecule. I say forever, Bombo roars. Faithful. Forever. Faithful. Forever. Faithful. Forever! Well, it went on that way until the first thing you know, the wedding is called off. And... it's war!
My, my.
King Bombo stalks out of the palace, leaving King Little mighty frightened.
Yes, Gabby, and leaving Prince David and Princess Glory mighty unhappy.
Yes, indeed. The princess cried herself to sleep that night with tears as big as pinheads. last thing she heard was Prince David singing his message to her. It was the song of Blefuscu.
Forever, there won't be anyone but you. Remember, I'm true, my sweet. Forever, you'll share in everything I do. So keep smiling, my sweet. We may be apart.
Gabby, what with King Bombo declaring war over which song to play at the wedding, and you finding me on the beach. Poor King Little certainly had his troubles that night.
Precisely, Gulliver. I yelled, "There's a giant on the beach! There's a giant on the beach! There's a giant on the beach!" Till I was purple in the face. Well, they finally heard me. That's when all us Lilliputians went down to the beach and tied you up. Oh, the way we worked, you'd have thought you were an anthill. We rigged up derricks and pulleys and windlasses. That spot is still there. It's a canal now. We call it Gulliver Gulch.
I woke up next morning in the palace courtyard. I thought somebody'd put rubber bands on my fingers. When I snapped them off and sat up, I saw a little man in a red robe standing on the highest tower of his castle. "Who are you?" I said. "I'm king around here," he answered. "King Little. I'm the tallest man in Lilliput." I asked him how tall that was. 1 inch 5, he said proudly. And then he told some of you to search me for weapons.
Yes, that's when one of us fell against the trigger of your thunder machine and nearly blew the palace tower away. Oh!
Yes, my pistol. And King Little thought I was one of Bombo's spies. He told his archers to get ready to execute me. But just as they were about to try it, King Bombo attacked. Remember how Bombo's archers spelled out the word F-O-R-E-V-E-R forever down the palace wall, Gabby? To remind you what the war was all about?
Do I? It looked like a real battle for a while there.
That's when King Little asked me if I could fight. "Well, Your Majesty," I said, "I can lick anyone my size."
Yes. Believe me, it made us Lilliputians happy to know the Man Mountain was on our side. We knew Bombo wouldn't attack as long as you were around. We all danced through the streets, singing how happy we were.
Happy day. It's a happy day. You can't go wrong if you sing a song. It's a happy day.
That was fun, Gabby. But the real celebration came that night. Will you ever forget the feast we had?
Never. It was just an ordinary dining table to you, Gulliver. But it was a regular banquet hall to us Lilliputians.
And what an entertainment. 3 little people called out to me that they'd sing a native folk song in my honor.
There are bluebirds in the moonlight. Silly idea, bluebirds in the moonlight. But that's how I feel when I'm with you. Night owl in the daylight. Silly idea about owls in the daylight. Oh, maybe my heart is saying, ooh, 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 ooh.
Something besides bluebirds in the moonlight that night, Gabby. There was trouble ahead.
Yes, Gulliver. King Bumbo gave his spies orders to kill you and then made ready to attack us again.
Yes, and the next thing I knew, Gabby, you were ringing the alarm bell and shouting...
Gulliver! Gulliver, where are you? Bumbo's attacking. Where are you, Gulliver?
Here I am, Gabby.
Where have you been, you lazy, long-legged, overgrown lummox? I can't depend on anybody around here. Now get down there to that beach and wipe out that Bumbo and that bunch of bluffaskewins. Tear them to pieces and don't leave a man alive to tell the tale. Forward march! Get going!
Aye, aye, sir. My, my.
And look out for Bumbo's rocks and arrows. Come on, you Lilliputians. This is war! Hey! Hey, wait for me! Wait for me, Gulliver!
We're all together now.
Bumbo, we can settle this peacefully. Listen, hold your fire. Hear what I have to say. Bumbo, order your men to lay down their arms. Must I make you listen? I'll pick up your anchor ropes and tow your ships ashore. Well, I can pick up all your anchor ropes in one hand. Here's one, two, three... 5, 8, 10. There we are. Look, with one hand. Now I'll pull these ships up on the beach and we can settle this thing peacefully.
Yes, but while you were tugging the ships, three of Bumbo's spies had dragged your pistol to a little knoll just at your back. You didn't see them, but Prince David did. After a hard, fast ride, he arrived just in time to leap onto the pistol barrel and spoil their aim.
And Prince David's bravery saved my life. But it almost cost his own. His weight on the pistol barrel made it topple over, and poor David fell to the foot of the cliff. The crowd, King Bumbo, the Princess Glory, and King Little, they were all stunned. When I picked up the prince, I could see he was only stunned, but they thought he'd been killed. So I said to them, poor, poor, foolish little people. Look what you've done. Now go ahead, break your nutshell heads over your songs. But did you have to break Glory's heart, King Little, because you were thoughtless and selfish? And you, Bumbo, mighty warrior, what have you won? Nothing. You were too stubborn to think, too busy killing, to lend an ear to the harmony that might have been yours. All you had to do was to make one beautiful song out of both your national anthems. And in your sorrow and despair, perhaps you'll listen to your songs as they should be sung. David and Glory, sing both your songs together.
Thank you.
for Prince David and for Jessica Dragonette as Princess Glory. Thank you. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, both of us enjoyed our work in the picture. Making a full-length cartoon and in Technicolor is the most fascinating affair I ever saw. Because we think you might be interested in some of the facts and figures about Gulliver's travels, we have invited Dave Fleischer, associate producer and director of the picture here, to amaze you. Mr. Dave Fleischer.
Thanks, Lanny. Certainly seems natural to see you and Jessica Dragonette at the microphone all at the same time.
Yes, a lot of drawing boards and a huge room full of frantic animators, Dave. And I'll say we're back in your new studio in Miami.
Dave, take us behind the scenes, won't you? Tell us what goes into making a picture like Gulliver.
Well, first of all, there is a staff of 675 artists who are willing to work day and night for more than a year and a half on one picture. And they made 500,000 different drawings.
Why so many?
Well, you see, Lanny, it takes 24 separate drawings to produce just 1 second of action on the screen.
That's a lot of drawing.
By the time we got through, we had used 12 tons of paint, 16 tons of drawing paper, and we completely lost track of the pencils and brushes.
Now, that's really a titanic job, Dave. You should be proud of it. And you should be proud, too, of what the reviewers have said about Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, I am proud of Gulliver, Lanny, and I hope its humor and its music bring joy and entertainment to all who see it.
Thank you, Dave Fleischer. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we return you to Hollywood.
Congratulations, all of you, back in New York. Now, Connie Boswell presents one of the loveliest ballads of the Christmas season that it's been my good fortune to hear. It's called When Christmas Is Gone. Connie wrote it herself, and it's swell. Now, just wait till you hear her sing it.
Now, take it easy, Edward. Can't be that good.
Oh, yes, it is.
Christmas is gone.
Yes, Snooks?
I want to recite a poem. It's about Christmas, and I like it.
About Christmas?
Yeah, and it's about Maxwell House Coffee, too.
All right, then. Go ahead, recite.
Last Christmas Eve, my daddy said that early I must go to bed. He said that while I was asleep, my Christmas presents in would creep. But what I could not understand is that when off in slumberland, the presents that crept in the door were the very same toys I saw up in the attic days before. I like it. I like it.
Well, wait, Snooks. I thought you said your poem was about Maxwell House Coffee.
Oh, well, that's the second verse.
Well, go ahead, then. Finish it.
I can't remember it. Well, Daddy! Daddy!
Yes, Snooks? Twas.
Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house was...
Was the wonderful fragrance?
A fresh Maxwell House.
Ah, thank you, Snooks. That was magnificent. And friends, right now at this joyful season, on behalf of Edward Arnold, Meredith Wilson, Connie Boswell, Snooks and Daddy, and all the members of our cast, I'd like to express our deep appreciation to all of you whose loyalty to Maxwell House has made these programs possible. We're proud to know that Maxwell House will be bringing good cheer to more families this Christmas than ever before in its history. And we hope the friendly warmth and goodness of this famous coffee will continue the holiday spirit in your home during all the days of the year to come.
No good news program would be complete without a solo meal from Lou Holtz and the rest of the company. Baby Snooks, do you want to sing solo meal?
That's what I want for Christmas.
Nah, we all love it. How about it, Lou?
Your obedient servant, Edward. For solo meal, that is to say for me, solo meal is always a pleasure. Edward, Meredith. Please say a prayer for a very fine young man, a fellow named Joe McGurk. He was washing windows on the 42nd floor and stepped back to admire his work. Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Zezu Zez!
Zezu Zez!
Zezu Zoo!
Zezu Zoo!
Futudu!
Futudu!
And now we hear from Snooksy.
When I lost my dog, I was told to advertise in the papers, but I didn't take heed. I said, what's the use of advertising in the papers when the poor little doggy don't read?
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Well, dig, dig, dig.
Well, dig, dig, dig.
Chop, chop, chop.
Chop, chop, chop.
Well, all right.
Well, all right.
Oh, well, hello, 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 hello.
You're awful funny.
Very good. And now we hear from Eddie Arnold.
I was getting too heavy, my doctor said, ride horseback to reduce your weight. So I rode 4 weeks, gained 51 pounds, and the horse lost 108.
Oh, soul of me.
Oh, soul of me.
Oh, soul of you.
Oh, soul of you.
He nearly killed the horse.
He nearly killed the horse.
Hello.
Hello.
Toot, toot, toot,
toot. Toot, toot.
Hello.
Hello. It's fun.
And now we hear from Lal Ganga.
Fora dire cane nur da mis dal no, baby snooky ooky pooky.
He says a woman in India always feeds her baby garlic. She's the Rani of Majorark.
Mordor para visa la romara cora Daniel Bori, Mary be the gardesan.
The reason she feeds the baby garlic is so she can find it in the dark. Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of me!
Oh, soul of you!
Oh, soul of you!
Lolly, lolly!
Lolly, lolly!
Poppy, poppy!
Poppy, poppy!
Tootie, tootie!
Tootie, tootie!
La!
La.
Ladies and gentlemen, in Meredith Wilson's concert hall, we have been presenting a series of modern masterpieces which Meredith has commissioned. And we had planned this evening to present a minuet by the distinguished American songwriter Harold Arlen. Mr. Arlen wrote the music for The Wizard of Oz, among many brilliant scores, and I assure you that in rehearsal his minuet has been most beautiful and impressive. Next Thursday, you will have the pleasure of hearing Mr. Arlen's minuet. Tonight, in honor of Christmas week, Meredith is going to play that great Christmas hymn, Adeste Fideles, featuring Robert Stevens. That was beautiful, Meredith. Ladies and gentlemen, that about winds us up for tonight, except that all of us wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas and hope you'll be back with us again next Thursday. Fanny Bryce and Hanley Stafford, Lou Holes, Connie Boswell, Meredith Wilson, Benny Rubin, and yours truly will all be here. And a special New Year's surprise. Good night.
This is Warren Hull reminding you that the easy-to-follow directions for making Maxwell House coffee are printed right on the can. By following them, you are sure to get the full flavor and goodness of Maxwell House in the most economical way. And now, good night, good luck, and a Merry Christmas to each and every one of you from the makers of Maxwell House, the coffee that's now, more than ever, good to the last drop.
National Broadcasting Company.